It's always a joy to have you joining us for the Word for Life broadcast. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, Counseling Pastor, Senior Citizens Pastor here at Brookside. And as we open the Word of God occasionally and just talk about how the Word applies to your life, it's what we've been doing the last couple of times as we've been looking at Luke 15 and the story of the lost sheep and how the shepherd looked for that sheep till he found him, the sheep that was lost to safety. Then we talked about that lost silver, and the lady lit a candle and swept the house until she found that lost piece of silver. We talked about that silver being out of the hand of the lady was lost to usefulness. And yes, what a picture it is that when we are out of the hand of our Savior, we also are lost to usefulness. And we're challenging you to make 2014 a year of usefulness, a year when you would say, Lord, I want things to change this year. I want you to be able to use me in some way. And then we looked at the story of the prodigal son, or the lost son. And in that story, we see a man, a young man, who is lost to fellowship because he's in a backslidden condition. Now, he is a son of the Father. And of course, the Father in the story is a picture of the Heavenly Father. So therefore, we're talking about a son, a child of God, as it were, but in a backslidden condition. Are you lost to the fellowship of the Heavenly Father? You see, here was a boy that decided, I want a life change. I want to live it up. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to be under restrictions. I don't want to have to live to please my Father. In fact, notice how he said it. He said, Father, give me the portion of my goods. You know, he wanted the Father's gifts, but not the Father's presence. That's usually a sign that we are in trouble. We want what the Heavenly Father can give us, but we don't want time with the Heavenly Father. And it says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. I've circled the word all in my Bible, and in the margin of my Bible I've written, there was no intention of ever returning. He wasn't just taking a vacation. He gathered all together. He wasn't coming back. He was going to experience the high life. And so many times when we are lost to fellowship, whatever the reason, it is lost through willfulness. Willfulness. Just willful determinations that we want to make our own decisions. We don't need the Heavenly Father anymore. My precious friend, if you have lost your fellowship with the Lord, you know, this story tells just a wonderful story of God's love. And we can see that by the three people that are seeking the lost. You remember the shepherd that went out seeking the lost sheep? And it said that the shepherd sought the lost sheep to save it. Now, that's a picture of the Son of God. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, he said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And of course, we know that to do that, it was at great sacrifice and cost. All you have to do is just sit down one day and read the various gospel stories of what Jesus went through to pay the price for your sin and mine. Whatever it took, gave it all. That's the work of the Son. And aren't you glad that the Son of God loves you? You see, there is no one outside of the love of God. Doesn't make any difference what you've done, where you've gone, where you've been. Nothing. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, I love this. And whosoever believeth in him, believes that Jesus died on the cross for his sins, believes that God sent him because of his love and repents of his sin, whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. You won't have to die and go to hell, but have everlasting life. See, that's the shepherd seeking the lost sheep to save it. That's the work of the Son. But then we see in that second story, the woman was seeking the lost silver to use it. And that's a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. Just as the lady lit a candle and swept her house until she found that lost silver, the Bible says that we have a candle as well, as it were. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so if we hold the Bible close to our soul and begin sweeping away sin so as to regain our usefulness, oh, the Holy Spirit of God will definitely be able to use you. It's exactly what he wants to do. You see, that's the reason the Lord leaves us here after we get saved. You ever stop and think about the fact that we could sing better in heaven than we do right now? We could worship God better in heaven than we do right now. Well, what is it that we can't do in heaven that we're doing right now? It's being a testimony to those who are lost. It is being useful in the hand of God to reach the lost. That's why God has given you the job that he has. Oh, you thought it gave you the job so you could just earn a living. Well, that's true, but that's not the only reason. That's the reason that God has sent you to the school where you're going. That's the reason God has placed you in the neighborhood where you live. It's because of the people around you. And if you will hold the Bible close to your soul and begin to sweep away sinful attitudes and priorities and actions and words, guess what you'll begin to see? You'll begin to see the lost and needy around you. And you'll begin to regain the usefulness that God wants you to have. See, the lost sheep was outside the fold. It was a lost soul. The lost coin was outside the control of the Holy Spirit. He was lost to a life of usefulness. And then thirdly, the Father seeks his lost Son for fellowship. That's the work of the Father. See, the Father didn't go out and seek the Son, but he waited for him to return to himself and to God. As I said a couple of days ago, I wonder if the Father was expecting the elder brother, kind of a picture of you and me, to go out and seek his lost brother, maybe bring him back. But the elder brother didn't. And so finally, when that prodigal son came to himself and repented of his sin and said, I need to go back and just become a hired servant, as soon as the father saw him coming, he began to run. Now, older men don't run in this culture, but this father did. And he ran down the road to greet his son and welcome his son. Now, in the East, a wayward son brought disgrace not only to his family, but also to his community. And so if he ever returned, he could have expected stoning, according to Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. But you know what? If any of the members of the community even thought about stoning this prodigal son, if they had thrown some stones at him, they would have hit the father, because he had immediately run to embrace him and to surround him with his love. Now, I want you to notice the Father's response to this returning son, because you see, when we have believers in Christ that go off and live in sin and waste themselves, sometimes our response is anger, bitterness, and frustration, and even a haughty spirit. But when Jesus was telling the story, he was trying to help them understand, and of course help us to understand, that when someone has repented and come back, we are to receive them gracefully. You see, the father could have met him when he came to the house, and he could have listened to everything the son said, and the father could have said, well, okay, I'll show you to the servants' quarters. Or he could have said, get out of my sight, you ingrate. Or he could have said, well, okay, you're still my son, and I'll help you set up a schedule to repay the money. Or he could have said, well, I forgive you, but don't ever let it happen again. See, none of that was on the lips of the Father, because none of that was in the heart of the Father. Instead, we see the Father's love poured out with forgiveness, and get this, a sense of belonging. You see, the Bible says that he wasn't even done with his confession when he called to the servants and he said, bring the best robe. Now, of course, the best robe is the one that shows that he's a son. Bring a ring. See, he had no ring on his hand. If he ever had a ring, he probably pawned it so that he could continue to live his riotous living. And then he says, and put shoes on his feet. Now that right away told the son, he's not making me one of his hired servants, because servants never wore shoes. They were always barefoot. But what a reception the son was getting. And he began to realize that these were all gifts of sonship. And when the father fell on his neck and kissed him, one kiss signaled that he was forgiven, that he was accepted back into the family, and that the friendship was there, that it was a total reconciliation. And my precious friend, that's how God wants us to receive the backslidden one who comes back in repentance and asks for forgiveness. Whether it be to the church or back into your family, makes no difference how wickedly they have lived. If they have come back to God and are coming back to you, God wants us to put more emotion and effort into repairing that breach than we do in punishing the broken law. I'll say that again. God wants me to put more emotion and effort into repairing the breach between them and me than in me punishing the broken law. But see, that's not the way the elder brother responded. That elder brother was angry. He was even angry at his father. Wouldn't even come into the party. And remember now, the father was a type of God. He was angry at his brother. Oh, here's a sinner. Yeah, but he was a sinner who repented. Now, the prodigal brother was getting all this attention and all the gifts, and the elder brother just couldn't stand it. He wanted him to, if he did receive him back, just be a servant. You know what the elder brother missed? Because of his unforgiving spirit, he missed the joy of the party. My precious friend, whenever you have an unforgiving spirit toward a returning brother or sister that has repented of his or her sin and wants to come back into fellowship with the Lord, you have a spirit of unforgiveness and you'll never have any joy. You'll miss the joy of the party. The elder brother missed the joy of forgiving his brother. And let me tell you something, there is joy when you're able to forgive one who has sought your forgiveness. What a time of joy that it is. He missed the joy of pleasing his father and uniting the family. In fact, everybody in this chapter received joy except the elder brother. Isn't that amazing? Everybody in the family, in all three stories, everybody had joy but the elder brother. My precious friend, regardless of who it is that you need to forgive, if they have repented of their sin and come back and they're desiring fellowship in your church or maybe in your family, oh, they may have shamed your family. They may have shamed your church. And if God is willing to forgive and God says, I will, then who are we not to forgive? Don't be like the elder brother. We need to be brothers and sisters in Christ who say, you are forgiven. Welcome back into our fellowship. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.